there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 29th episode of The Conversation, a Nordic film podcast. We are back, and we were supposed to talk about Blade Runner, but for some reason, we didn't manage to do it. Well, actually, it was my fault.
I'm looking at you, Donald.
Yes, it was my fault. I just... Well, as I probably said before, I haven't watched the whole first movie of Blade Runner, so going to see the sequel... was not gonna happen. And we tried watching Blade Runner again. Like, I've been trying to watch that movie so many times now. I've seen the beginning of it, and I'm so excited to see what actually happens from the halfway mark and beyond. But you know, Röskva has been sick, and it just changed all our plans. We were even supposed to go to a spa, me and my girlfriend, past weekend. But we had to cancel because of my daughter being sick. So,
well, there you go. Yeah, so that's our lives now.
It's not even just Blade Runner. It's also other things that had to change. But luckily, we found a solution, and we went to see The Snowman. Instead, the new movie with Michael Fassbender and so many more celebrities.
Yes, very top-heavy film, must say.
But before we get into all that, how have you been? Have you been your bathroom yet?
Okay, first of all, bathroom news. Yeah. Or maybe car news, you know? Maybe for the third show running, I have a new car.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no news in that anymore. Like, the news value has gone.
I guess. Yes, bathroom. I've got some really good news today. So I have some people that are coming, and it's all about to happen. So
awesome.
We're very positive about us being able to shower here at home in the near future. Before Christmas. I'm thinking even before Christmas.
Wow. Wow, that's
so that's good.
That's something. That's lucky.
Yeah. I have been watching a little bit of Broad City.
Oh.
You know that one?
Yeah, like a comedy thing, right?
Yeah. Really, really good comedy thing. Okay.
Yeah. I know that there's a keyboard for Android, at least, with memes, where you can write in Broad City memes.
Okay.
Yes. That's the extent of what I know.
That's some hardcore geek stuff there, Rune. Well done. We just finished season 3 now, and it's these girls too, Ilana Glaser and Abby Jacobson. It's produced by Amy Poehler, among other people. So It really took off after the first two seasons, because it was like these two girls, they had a podcast, I believe.
Oh.
And then they moved into TV, or maybe it started as a web series. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But they're really, really funny. And I just absolutely love them.
Yeah.
And now looking at season 3, and it's actually season 4 has started now.
Okay.
But season 3 is really, it's packed with celebrities. For instance, we have Whoopi Goldberg in a nun's costume. That means someone has cash to burn, you know? Let's get Whoopi Goldberg in a nun costume.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, and she did it before, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
At least a few times.
let me just mention one other thing that I just found so incredible. Abby's father is played by none other than Tony Danza. You remember Tony Danza?
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah. I haven't seen Tony Danza for 20 years, isn't it?
Right.
That was from Friends, but okay.
He
starred in Who's the Boss? comedy series. You probably were too young to know.
No, I watched a lot of that.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, he was in Alyssa Taxi
Milano
as well.
Also, was
Alyssa
that
Milano
one?
as a teenager?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I haven't seen him for like 20 years, no. And then he pops up, and he was great.
He got this revival. I remember seeing a few not episodes, but interviews with him a few years ago, probably because he reappeared in that series. Then,
actually, season 3 is just like last year. Yeah. So, but he's due a comeback. I'm sure he was very good in Broad City. He was just one episode, but still.
And I think he was pretty good back in the day. Mm-hmm. He just disappeared.
Yeah. It's good. Big star.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's been doing. He's probably been up to something.
Some
TV movies probably or something like that. But
yeah, I just haven't seen him.
Yeah, but you haven't seen Broad City, so you should watch Broad City.
Thank you. I will try and look for it.
Freaky, vulgar fun. And just incredibly funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I could watch some light humor. Not light
put it
humor.
On the list.
I'm not going to say light humor or light stuff,
but
some like it's 25 minutes or something. It's not
20 minutes.
Okay, so it's like a sitcom.
Well, 22 minutes. Yeah. No, length. It's not, well, it's sitcom time, yes, but yeah. Not a sitcom at all.
But that's good. I like those shorter episodes. I've been it takes too long to watch some of these series, you know. Just say Twin Peaks, for instance. Right.
Okay. Have you been watching some TV?
Not so much TV. Well, yeah. I don't want to go very deeply into it, but yeah, Twin Peaks, because I've been rewatching the second season with my girlfriend, and she finally finished it. And again, you know, it's so amazing to just watch it a little bit, see how many references there actually are. But I'm not going to go into that. I've been watching some other stuff. I tried watching Blade Runner, of course, but then there's this Icelandic movie, well, British movie actually, about an Icelandic case that that I watched actually because Elin was very excited about this one movie because it's such a apparently big thing in Iceland.
Well, the case is a big thing. Yeah. The film
and
is,
everybody knows about
not
it.
Not really. Yes.
Yeah. So, like, and it was, it's the movie called Out of Thin Air, and it just got released on Netflix, and I think it's almost being pitched as this Netflix original, right? Even though BBC is part of it and all that kind of stuff, but now it's on Netflix, and it's about the case.
So it's about this case from, I think, early 70s where two people vanished pretty much. Well,
in Hafnarfjörður.
Yes.
Where
my,
you live.
My hometown now.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody's found, no physical evidence at all. And then they just started arresting people because they were like small time crooks, like drug dealers. And what it's really about is the fact that there's no physical evidence at all. Mm-mm. And these people were held for a really long time in
isolation.
Isolation. Mm-hmm. And then one woman started like just making up stuff.
Yeah.
Started with, she told them about a dream she had and it like kind of took off from there and implicated a lot of people, and people said, and we were convicted and sat in jail for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
No bodies ever found.
No.
No physical evidence. Just her statements, basically.
Yeah.
And confessions that they kind of withdrew very in the trial, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
So it's this huge case, and it's like kind of hanging over the Icelandic judicial system
still
to this day.
Yeah.
And it's there's always some committee working on, you know, should we retrial this and should we, you know, open the case. And it hasn't happened so far, but...
wasn't it reopened a bit, or like they started looking into it again? That's why this whole movie...
Well, people were trying to get retried, like this main culprit, you know, actually not a culprit at all.
No, probably not.
Saivar, he's deceased now, Saivar Ciesielski, and he fought for years and years to get it reopened.
Yeah,
because it basically ruined his life and probably the lives of all these other people that did time.
I mean, they were in isolation for like more than a year. Like, I think it was close to like 600 days or something.
It was really long. It's almost unheard of in Western society, I think. Surely today, at least.
Yeah. But what do you think about the movie then?
I didn't really like it. We've had some documentaries done by Icelandic television, and I just felt it didn't really explain the case too much. Also, I thought that the lack of a narrator, just the interviews, and these people are speaking English. All of them, they're all Icelandic stuff. Probably, I'm thinking some stuff gets lost in translation a little bit, even though Icelanders speak good English generally. But I felt it didn't explain the case well enough.
I didn't know anything about the case, and I was a bit confused what actually happened. Also,
exactly.
Like, and it's obviously by design, because the whole case is based on a dream, but they do all of these reenactments in the documentary.
Yes.
And then at one point they say, well, that didn't really happen. And then they do different kinds of reenactments. And like, usually when you see reenactments in a documentary, you have to kind of go with it, you know, like this probably happened. So it really challenged you in that way. And, you know, maybe that's good, but you really want to get a sense of what the case was about. And this didn't help, you know, seeing some person with a gun and then all of a sudden not with a gun. And then like the same situation playing out in different ways, you know, at least they should probably have explained it a bit more. Maybe that thing with a narrator taking you through what actually happened.
Yeah, I felt it was lacking that. And just to get a clear idea what really happened or didn't happen. So it was a bit confusing, like you say, as you hadn't heard about
it. No, not at all.
But it's good that it's getting some exposure to the case. I mean, everybody knows these people were innocent.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. I mean, there was this one policeman, actually, in the film that said something like they did it or something like that.
Yeah,
I've never heard anyone say that in any documentary ever.
No. Yeah.
That was even a possibility, because the makings of the case is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And actually, it's all about how these confessions were gotten. Mm-hmm. And there's like this whole movement now, actually. When you look at Netflix, there's this show called The Confession Tapes.
Yeah.
And it's all about that. It's like, I don't know, 10 episodes. We watched like 7 or something like that before we kind of got a little bit bored with it.
Yeah.
And it's just seen, and they're like actual footage of these confessions people are making. Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy when you have people in captivity to get them to say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what happened in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it reminded me a lot of what I saw when I visited Cambodia and Phnom Penh. Pol Pot, he in the 70s also arrested all these communists. Or no, not communists. It was well, intellectuals and stuff like that, and kept them in captivity, really beat them severely, and then made them say, oh, I'm with America or something. I'm a double agent, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of easy because those people, when you beat them so much, then you're all of a sudden willing to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Just to please these people that are like interrogating you, and I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's basically.
Yeah.
And it's so easy, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
But for me, the film was not really that good.
No, like me, I didn't care too much for it either. Like mainly because you didn't get that real sense of what happened. Also because there's no really resolution, you know. Where it's like so the only thing it can be is to bring awareness to the case, and it doesn't really bring anything new to the table, I guess, except for one policeman apparently saying they did it.
Yes. It's a part of this growing thing now, or hot thing now, true crime.
Yeah.
Like, of course, this huge thing, Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
You watched that, right?
Huh?
You didn't watch that, did you?
Well, we tried last year, but never got around to it.
Okay.
I will do it. There's a second season now, right?
Is there a second season?
Maybe it's around the corner or something. I don't know.
Really?
I think so.
Let's Google.
Yeah.
Making a Murderer Season 2. There you go.
Yeah.
Release date? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
It's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's... No. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Maybe it's a different kind of case.
Yeah, there was no resolution for that one. I mean, the guy's in jail, and his nephew is in jail and whatnot. Mm. Well, let's not spoil too much for you.
No, exactly. Please don't. Please don't. Well, on that note, I actually also started watching, I haven't finished it yet, but the sequel to An Act of Killing. That's kind of in the vein of this crime stuff also.
And
Cambodia stuff. Do you know Act of Killing?
Hang on. Let's Google it.
Yeah. Well,
no, I don't know it.
It's a documentary by what's his name? You just Googled it.
2012. It's Indonesian. Yeah. It was in Biopartis. Yeah. I didn't catch it at the time.
No. But the guy who made it is living in Denmark. He did it in Denmark here. So it was kind of popular here. It's a very good movie, The Act of Killing. It's very hard to watch, though, because he follows the killers of millions, I guess, of communists in Indonesia. Communist in quotations, because it was also this kind of genocide. They follow the killers where they actually describe how they killed the people. And try to reenact them, you know. So it's like a documentary where Joshua, I think that's his name,
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Very iconic name.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way.
Yeah. Mm. And he just humored them basically and made them recreate these massacres as they saw them in their own minds. So some of them make them as musicals, some of them as this like epic drama, and it's basically just them killing people. And they just talk so like matter of fact about it. And and The Look of Silence, which is the sequel to it, they actually follow some of the victims' kids. You know, some that didn't get killed in the genocide, where they try to get some resolution to why they killed these people. So they still talk to these killers who are still quite proud of what they did, you know, and they still rule the country there, you know. It's
well, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it's very reasonable. It's really a very interesting documentary. I would advise you to watch at least The Act of Killing. The Look of Silence is basically a little bit more of the same, just a different spin on it, but it's the same kind of feeling I'm left with.
Is it in Netflix?
Yeah, both of them are available in Netflix, you know? So
cool. I'll check that out.
Try that. But it's not like it's not nice. It's not like a feel good movie. Yeah. It's really, wow, humanity is just horrific. And when you think that you're the hero, then you do anything. Yeah. So it's that kind of problems they're dealing with, you know?
Yeah.
So, So I did watch a few things other than The Snowman.
Pretty cool.
All kind of crime related, actually.
Yeah. So we were like having some difficulty settling on The Snowman. Mm-hmm. We were like when it came to pass that we could not watch Blade Runner.
Because of me. Like, yes, I know. I know.
And it doesn't matter. I have a complaint though. I do, because this Icelandic director, Hlynur Pálmason, just won the main prize at Copenhagen Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called?
Winter Brothers.
Yeah. What's the festival called?
CPH Pix.
Yeah, CPH Pix. Mm-hmm. Main prize.
Yes.
And for some reason, the film doesn't go into general screenings anywhere in Denmark after that.
No.
Winning first prize, then gets shelved.
Yeah.
I
you know, suspense, this is right? Suspense.
This is so stupid. what the fuck? Really?
I don't get it. What
the fuck is wrong with these
people? Unfortunately, I don't have a mandate to actually move release schedules in any way here in Denmark.
Can you ask someone? Why is this?
I can look into it because is something that I'm always having a gripe about.
Yeah, this is your countryman here. Yeah. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, first prize winner in a film festival in Denmark. Yeah.
Icelandic director, Danish produced film. Like, he's from the Danish film school and everything. So, I mean, they should.
Yeah. They should screen the film.
But he's from this, like, new talent stuff. You know, like it's his first movie and nobody takes a risk. So it's not.
But it is the main prize. Yes,
I know. It should be part
of the festival.
It should be part of the prize that your movie is going to be screened. Right?
I mean, really? Mm-hmm. That is just, I have no words.
Yeah.
I have nothing just further to say here.
We will, however, watch this movie at some point. Have you watched it yet?
Absolutely.
Is it in Iceland?
I haven't. There are two Icelandic films I'm waiting to see, dying to see, actually. Yes. That one and Under the Tree, which I've talked about before because I really liked his previous film, Pirates of the North. So that's going to happen soon. Yeah.
It is going to happen.
This is a question that needs to be uttered at some point, Rune. Why? What is wrong with you, people?
Yeah, we really have an affinity for American film. I think that's
You're on a steady diet of Hollywood crap there over there, aren't you? Yes,
we are.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, at least. I don't know.
Anyway, that's out of the way.
We will watch that one.
Also, we will do that.
I also just saw that I think the 9th of November, the new Georgios Lanthimos film is coming out.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Killing a Sacred Deer or something. I'm up for a good laugh.
I don't know.
No?
I wasn't all too thrilled about The Lobster, so...
You know, it was on the top of my list, so.
Yes, I will humor you, of course, like I always do. Yes.
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 but this time, at least, we decided, after careful consideration, to watch The Snowman, the new Thomas Alfredson movie.
Thomas Alfredson, actually.
Alfredson.
Yes.
A woman vanished last night. We just found the body.
Prince?
And the head is missing. He calls himself the Snowman Killer. He's completely insane. Keep the front
door open. I'm thinking that he's going after women that he disapproves of. What's that cheeky grinning?
Come on down. The only thing we know for sure is that he's playing games with us.
That was a clip from The Snowman, just released this week, a film by Thomas Alfredsson, based on a novel by Norwegian writer Joe Nesbø. It's an American, British, Nordic kind of a project with Martin Scorsese actually producing with director.
Yes.
So I don't know, first impressions. What do you think?
Wow, that's a tough one. Well, starting with all the positives, I do like Thomas Alfredsson's visual style. I think he has some beautiful scenes, some beautiful shots, and you know, he really likes snow, doesn't he?
I mean, well, his visual style and snow is very apparent in his best film, Let the Right One In.
Yes, maybe best film, right? Didn't he also do Four Shades of Brown?
I don't know. He did Tinker Tailor Soldier's Spy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think he did like this. Fjore nyanser brun or something. Okay. Wow, that was my weird Icelandic Swedish accent.
That's good. That's good.
But I know a Swedish guy who adored that movie.
Yeah.
Let the Right One In, the original. Mm-hmm. Gotta state that it's beautiful, and you can see, like, you can tell that it's the same director with the cinematography, I think. It's more Hollywood-esque, but there's still some of the same ideas. I think it's been a long time since I saw Let the Right One In, but somehow it reminded me of that one.
Okay.
But you know, being Hollywood and all that kind of stuff, like Scorsese is involved, and you always, like, sometimes you just want this stable, steady shot, you know, like just put it on a tripod and keep it there. Mm-hmm. Because he had some really good shots, but he always wanted to, like, zoom in a little bit or move the camera a little bit. Like, it was this, like, constantly moving camera style to make it more grand, I guess. But sometimes you just need to calm it down a bit. But, you know, I like the style, generally speaking.
Okay. I mean, that's a plus.
Yes.
That's a plus.
And there's some a few other things also when we go further into what it's about. But what about you? Do you have any, like, positives? Did you enjoy it in any way?
I will say that I wasn't really bored until really late. I was kind of bored in the end.
Okay.
Well, not bored, it's not the right word, but me and Chip were kind of maybe annoyed. Yeah. I'm mm-hmm. easily annoyed, as is apparent. Me and Chip were really looking at each other and just smiling because we were not pleased, really, because it was kind of silly. But I had some. Well, I have no problem with Michael Fassbender. I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good leading man. Mm-hmm. With not so good advisors, I would say, from taking this. Because this is a proper movie star type of guy.
Yeah.
He has that look, and he's a good actor as well. So, mm-hmm. And some of the actors, it's nice to see Val Kilmer.
It was weird to see Val Kilmer.
Weird, but right? Nice. And
I was thinking it was some sort of strings that Martin Scorsese pulled. Just course. Like, hey, I know that guy. Let's put him in it.
I'm gonna get to that when we do the things that I was not pleased with. Yeah. But it was good to see him anyway, and it was good to see Toby Jones, really like him. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Gainsbourg, of course, Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah,
good actors. I mean,
but wasn't that such a I don't know if we're going to spoilers, but it was such a letdown, you know, with her. Yeah. Like they get such big actors. They get such big, but good actors and actresses. Yeah. And they just didn't do anything with them.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Okay, let's try to stay positive for a while at least. There was a scene when he's looking from outside into the bar, and then they pan the camera, and he's seen drunk, passed out drunk.
Yeah.
Within like 5 seconds. I thought that was a nice touch. Also, I said to Shepn yesterday when we were discussing it, and this is actually a plus too, because we kept on being able to discuss this film while after it ended. We were discussing it last night even. We went on Friday. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's a major plus, actually.
That's a good thing. Even though it was not really for to praise it much, but
okay.
You could see, I haven't read the book, you could see that it's a good, probably a really good crime thriller.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, like, Alien and I, we talked about that also, and I was thinking, like, watching this movie, well, it has problems, but it didn't really make me want to read the book, even.
Not when you know who's the killer. Who's the killer? But
no,
I can see structurally it's you know, it's a crime thriller.
Yeah,
structure is pretty much you know it was formulaic. You know, but that's pretty much what I have positive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of a I have another positive. I liked this. It was not really a sex scene, but like a heavy petting scene.
Yes, I have a comment on that as well. You like that?
I actually really liked it, but not within the context of the movie. It was more like it seemed to me it was a nod to previous movies of theirs, Michael Fassbender and Charlotte Gainsborough.
I guess you can say that, yeah.
Because there's no sex involved in that scene, and the music used in that scene is also Countrymen of Yours, Siguros.
Yes, Siguros. Yes.
It was a weirdly grand kind of sex scene, but then there was no clothes removed. She got off him and you saw that they were fully clothed, and she just turns off the music and that's that, you know. I like that, you know.
Well, to quote Kshup, my girlfriend, what was with that almost sex scene? What the fuck was going on there?
You know,
were they thinking, oh, we don't really have time for this, but you know, let's do some heavy petting and be done with it.
They knew it was wrong.
Oh, they knew it was wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, that's the thing. Like I just thought of Shame, and I thought of Nymphomaniac, and I just thought it was kind of like a small fun remark from the director's standpoint. You know, saying like, okay, we're going to do this thing, but without any real contact.
Picking up on that music comment, I really didn't think Siguros fitted into that scene.
Not at all.
But
it was diegetic music, you know? So it kind of fitted in that way.
Because it was something... diegetic?
Diegetic, that means when music comes from an audio source in the actual space. So shout out Gainsborough, goes over to the hi-fi stereo thing, turns it off, because it was something that they connected with, is something they were listening to. Therefore, it didn't fit within the context of the movie necessarily, but it's something that's in the room, actually.
Okay, I see it a bit differently.
So that's why I thought, okay, this is kind of fun, because it stopped so quickly, and it was like they meant something differently with this scene. So I was laughing, I was smiling, I thought it was a good scene, but you know, okay. not for the movie. I mean, for the movie, it's kind of like most of it didn't really go anywhere.
Okay. I see it a bit differently. I mean, for one, like you say, it doesn't fit into the scene. It doesn't fit into the character at all. Mm-hmm. His character.
No.
And he has this old bunch of worn records.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't play into the whole hipster music like Sigur's is producing.
No.
It's not at all. And it's just one example, I feel, of a major problem with the film, which is, and I mentioned this before, it's top heavy. Mm-hmm. You have this giant of a man in Martin Scorsese producing. He was actually attached to direct at some point, but he didn't go through with it. It's all these seriously good actors everywhere. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's the, for instance, Anna Reid. She's in one scene, older woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She stars in a series called Last Tango in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Also a film called Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good actress. Very, for anyone who's seen Last Tango in Halifax, you just immediately love her.
Yeah.
But there is no reason to cast Anna Reid in a scene for 30 seconds.
No.
In a movie such as this. Chloe Sevigny is another great actress. She's very picky for her roles.
Yes.
It's embarrassing. It's mm-hmm. She cannot be happy with this. Toby Jones,
no.
Great. Another great, great actor.
Yeah.
He's in like two or three scenes and it's under a minute or something. It's just ridiculous. And it's just top heavy and it all stinks. It stinks of Hollywood trying to make Nordic noir their own. Mm. I mean, let's face it. They didn't go all the way like Kenneth Branagh did. Well, they pretty much did the same thing, like Branagh did.
At least, like to his benefit, he moved it to Britain. He moved it to England.
Did he?
Didn't he?
No, not the first year. I've seen like two seasons of that, and it's all in Ystad in Sweden, and that's just so. I mean, yeah. I don't dislike Branagh's vision version of this, of Wallander. I don't. But the whole thing about it being in Sweden and people being called Swedish names, and he's working out of Ystad, and it's just something very wrong about it. This time we have working in Norway, in Oslo, in Bergen. Mm-hmm. Bergen.
Yeah.
Just Bergen. Weird to say that. Bergen.
Yeah.
I know. With an English accent.
Yeah.
And this is Norway. And it's like he's trying to steal the Nordic noir tradition and running with it to Hollywood. And also, it's just not that good. The depth of the character is not good.
No.
You have these huge actors and they get pretty much nothing to work with. It was just a bad taste in my mouth.
But you know, like it's probably all about the nuances that you are able to convey when you're trying to be a different, you know, everybody is pretending to be Norwegian, basically. And it's hard to get into that mindset. my first comment, like my first note on my piece of paper here is, you should speak the language of the area, you know?
Exactly.
It was the first thing that came to my mind when I, when we started watching the movie, and it made me just a little bit sad that it's all these British and American actors just making a Norwegian movie, basically.
Yeah,
it's a movie that should have been Norwegian from the beginning.
Exactly. In
the first scene, we have this horrible guy quizzing a kid on Norwegian history, like kings and stuff like that, and it seems so wrong. Yeah,
that scene just it started off really bad with in that regard.
Yes,
quizzing him on Norwegian history.
It's like, yes, we're in Norway and we speak with British accent. I mean, it might be nitpicking. I don't know if I would feel the same way with a movie set in a country that I wasn't as familiar with.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, usually I want to see the real languages. Like, for instance, with German films, I hate when people pretend to have these German accents, just speak German instead.
Yeah.
You know, don't speak English with a German accent. Quentin Tarantino did it actually really well in Inglourious Basterds,
mm-hmm.
with Christopher Waltz just saying, hey, let's cut the crap, let's just try and speak English instead. Like, they actually addressed it, and you still felt like everybody could speak the language, but they decided to speak English for some odd reason. Here it's just like you were always a little bit at a distance because you could see they were pretending to be someone they obviously weren't.
It just doesn't ring true from the beginning.
No,
it doesn't. So you start off as being annoyed, and I can just see how this came to be. I mean, mm-hmm. the Nordic noir is a thing now. It's yeah. this huge thing. It's huge in the UK, for instance, like mm-hmm. with for Brils and shows like that, and it's massive. And of course, Valandir is a prime example because Brana just took that and remade it.
Mm-hmm.
Something it's something wrong about it. But
yeah,
you know, that's the language. Let's be done with that. Let's focus on
thing.
The film.
Yeah. It's a thing that actually there's one other thing also a little bit with that. Because I said before, I like the stylistic choices of this movie. I like the cinematography in some way, but they were a little bit too stylized. So it actually further enhanced this feeling of not getting to know your characters, because the camera was so like observing the whole situation. You never got close to any of them, so you never really like one scene in particular. I was thinking could have been shot in a completely much better way. You know, Michael Fassbender was talking to his what is it called, like not really son. But
stepson, I guess.
I guess it's a stepson.
Former stepson.
Yeah. In a train in Oslo. And the shot they decided to go with was like a steady shot from outside of the train, with them standing looking directly out the window and talking to each other. And it felt like they wanted that shot because it looked nice, but they were talking about something that was actually kind of like personally important. So I would have liked to have gotten a bit closer to them, like to see some emotion, to go into the acting and feel these characters. But we were kept at a distance there as well. And we were in so many cases, you know, just like the camera wanted to do this thing and keep you at a distance and not get into the characters. So So there's one thing, they spoke English instead of Norwegian, but you never got a chance to really get into them because you were kept at a distance cinematographically.
Yeah. Know? Also, cinematography-wise, there's there was a few times where he was... camera was at a distance, but still you're gonna like cut it off. You can only see not his forehead. I mean, did you notice that?
No.
at least really distinctively once with the killer and Gainsbourg talking at a distance, you know.
Yeah.
Each one is at a distance to the other one, and camera's somewhere in the middle, and you get a shot of the guy, and it's cut here, just above.
Where?
You can't see?
No, we can't see.
Like, middle of the forehead, you can see, just see his face, but not his forehead. It's just really weird. Why is that? It's like...
I don't remember the shot.
It's a stylistic choice, I guess, it serves no purpose for this because at the end of the day, you don't really care about the characters at all.
No.
You don't. They have no depth whatsoever.
That is the main flaw of the movie. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a real, worry with many of these crime things, crime movies, because you're always worried of this red herring, like that some plot points will just be put there to make you think that will happen. The problem with this movie, I felt, was that the interesting story, what was coming into light, was actually, I guess the red herring, because it didn't really go anywhere. And I would actually have liked to see where that went. You know, the story about Avestop, which is also a great name to pronounce in English.
Yeah.
It was never explained what actually happened there. Kind of thing went on with escorts and
exactly
like Avestop's kind of fetish with taking pictures on his cell phone with a flash on.
Exactly.
I mean, that was like, I was laughing at it a little bit, but I was also thinking that's kind of weird and creepy.
It is creepy.
Just like takes a picture with his phone with a flash on, just like right there.
But isn't that part of making the decoy? And I mean, the decoy is something we know from crime thrillers such as this, whodunits. I mean, this is a whodunit, really.
It is.
And you need to have a decoy, and a good one, and someone you don't really like, I guess.
But on the other hand, it really didn't seem like, to me, it didn't seem like this could in any way be related. I didn't understand the relation.
Yeah.
Like the possible relation. So it seemed very fractured. There was like this thing, and then there was that other thing. And I really hate when they keep the killer, or the real killer, in hiding all the time. You know? Like, so you don't actually... Like, try to hide them more in plain sight. Like let us interact with the killer, or like... Yeah, instead of just keeping him out of the picture until it's beneficial to the story to put him on track again, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a main gripe, you know, with crime movies in general. Once the story is not there, and you only have the whodunit,
I think the story basically is there. They just didn't write it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really simple crime thriller, really. I mean, it's the old formula that always works. You have the like in the beginning, there's an old incident, and there's the flawed hero in beautifully named Harry Hole.
Yes.
What the fuck is with that name? Harry Hole.
Mr. Hole.
Yes. Mr. Hole. A drunkard. Not unlike Mr. Wallander.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the decoy, and you have the showdown in the end. By the way, that showdown and the drive up to the showdown, I felt I had seen all of that like 1,000 times before. The drive.
Yeah.
And what about in the showdown, how the killer is, let's just say goes down.
Yeah.
Don't you think that was stupid? It was like they put a banana peel, and this is directly from Shep. It's like he slipped on a banana peel. Really?
It was so anticlimactic, but trying to tie back to his past with his mother and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, sure, you know, sure.
But, you know, it do it in a different way then, at least.
And we have the hero wounded at one point, not being able to get up. Next scene, he's running through the snow.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yes, and he was just very excited to get back to his ex-wife.
Yes. Yes.
And stepson.
At that point, we were just laughing out loud. I mean, this is ridiculous.
But I was never really excited, but I did like the killing tool.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you that one. Yeah.
I was actually, like, when they had a little, what is it called, fisticuffs, you know, when they were actually brawling on the floor, I was like, wow, that's a little bit scary with that kind of tool as part of it, because it's not like a normal gun or knife or something. Mm-hmm. I like that touch, that's what he's using, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be fair, right? You might have seen the drive up to the place at the showdown, but also to be fair, I actually really enjoyed many of those shots with cars going from A to B and trains going from A to B. I thought they did it really beautifully. Obviously some drone involvement, but you know, it was beautiful. It showed off the country of Norway. And, okay.
You have some beautiful scenery there.
Yeah, like very, very beautiful. So, like,
yeah,
at least for that, it was good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Rene, for me, it's just a bad, really bad episode of Wallander.
Yeah.
And it should never have hit the big screen. And they over-explain things. For instance, Rebecca Ferguson, the weirdly Swedish actress. I thought she was Scottish.
Yeah.
She should be Scottish with that red hair and that name, Ferguson. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. That aside.
Remember that, I think Harry Hole goes to Bergen.
Harry Hole,
that name. Oh my God. And he finds her a raincoat, I think, yellow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know.
Yeah, we already.
We already know. They give you like 3 or 4 clues, and then they finally show the name. There's a name tag, so everybody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
There are many examples of this in the film. It's over-explained.
Yes.
I mean, that maybe is okay in TV, because when you're watching TV, you're home on your couch, okay? And you are like maybe looking at your phone, and you're getting a glass of water or whatever. Yeah. You can explain things because so everybody gets it, but in a movie theater, you don't need to, because people are there for the movie. Nobody's looking at the phone.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And you just, what's the movie? You don't need to explain this thoroughly. Yeah. Do you agree with me there?
I agree that you don't have to, but so many movies does. You know, I mean, I don't think this one did it more explicitly than other films.
Mm.
I wasn't that annoyed by it.
Yeah.
But you know, as soon as he went to Bergen,
yes.
he, like, you knew what he would find. Like, he almost didn't. You almost didn't need to go there. You know, one thing I thought was brilliant, not brilliant, but like in a comedic way, was when he finds this magazine with the two people, like Orson and the wife. Yes. And then after a few minutes, then he folds out that folded piece of paper as like, oh, Arvestor was there as well. It's such a weird, stupid reveal.
Okay.
I really
want to ask you something, because you're a technique kind of geek, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a good way. I always use the word geek in a good way. That's mm-hmm. always a good...
Yeah, even nerd is
yeah, good. Yeah, same yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that fingerprint scanning device suitcase. What the fuck is going on?
Didn't you like when she was hiding it?
Yeah,
it's like a brick, like a huge brick.
Yeah. And you can you totally explain see the camera. That to me?
I thought when they were explaining it that. They had to use this device to scan in culprits' fingerprints. Like when they arrest someone, like then they had to scan in the fingerprints.
Yes, they but have the technology on cell phones now with the fingerprint scan.
Yes.
So they take a time to explain it.
Yes. Maybe it's a thing with like crime Norwegian police not knowing so much about, you know, technology. I don't know. I mean, the main character here was also very amazed that he could get prescribed some medicine via a guy's cell phone. Like he was audibly saying, with that thing to this cell phone. So he obviously didn't have a cell phone either. So there's a little bit of a technophobe vibe here going on. But yeah, I thought it was pretty darn stupid. and we also talked about it.
Thank you for speaking English. It's pretty darn stupid.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit on the way home because my girlfriend just finished her education as a software developer.
Okay.
And had some security courses. And she was like, this kind of one-factor authentication, just like a fingerprint, and that's that. And you have access to all kinds of data, you know, data for anything. That was just like computer security 101 no-no, you know? And I would have to agree. I mean, sure, you're using your fingerprint, but then obviously that sets up another plot device of cutting off fingers, right?
I guess, yeah. And let me just say that her story arc ended. I would not have ended it like that. I mean, I guess it's in the novel.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's weird to me.
Yeah. But that was fun. Like, it's always fun when people tackle technology who doesn't know anything about technology.
I guess. One final question for you, Rune.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this is important when it comes to noir, like whodunit Nordic noir, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Were you at any point, was there any suspense? Did you feel any suspense at all at any point?
No.
No. So I
can't say no.
There you go. There's nothing to bite into. This is the main reason you make these kind of usually TV pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has been done on big screen, like the trilogy from what's it called, The Girl with the Dragon mm-hmm. Tattoo, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Not the American remake, though.
No. Didn't even watch it.
No, but that one reminded me so much of this one. Like it's completely the same thing. Also,
yeah, you've got some explaining to do. I saw your rating.
Ah, yeah, yeah, but I'm actually coming to that okay. because my rating is probably much better than it should have been for this kind of movie. But it was because I was actually fairly entertained throughout it, and I think it was probably, unfortunately, due to outer circumstances.
Okay.
Because we went to this amazing local cinema in Valby, which is like a suburb to Copenhagen.
Okay.
And it's fairly close to where I live, and it's hidden. Like if you say Valby Kino, which is called to anyone, they'll be like, huh? What? Okay. But it's an amazing cinema run by volunteers, so filled with people who actually care about movies.
Cool.
The operator came out to us when we were walking out the cinema, asking us about the movie, actually, like what we actually felt. And he was like, yeah, it wasn't that good, was it? You know, and it was just like the greatest vibe. They had, I think I sent you a picture of Eraserhead.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
The poster. Yeah. They had like plenty of those kind of posters sprinkled over their halls and all that kind of stuff.
Not unlike Bioparadise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not unlike that. And yeah, like when we went there, the one who ran it that evening, she came up to us and was like, hey, are you the guys who are going to the Chaplin screening? I was like, nah, unfortunately not. We're going to the Snowman.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, yeah. Okay. So there were four
that's
people.
Great when you there. Find some hidden gem mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And I was just worried that the screens would actually be like volunteer quality, you know, okay. Very small, not so good. But this was completely commendable cinema. They show like big popular mainstream movies, also probably in order to get it to like be financially sound,
yeah, viable, yeah.
But the atmosphere, like it was great. And I was just sitting there thinking, wow, I'm so happy I'm watching this kind of movie in this kind of place and not in a big cinemaplex, you know, Cineplex.
Yeah.
Because if I had watched it there in the Cineplex called Cinemax up the street, I would have probably hated this movie. But because of the atmosphere here, we were there like 6-8 people or something watching this movie in a nice surrounding and everything. Mm-hmm. I was just entertained, and those like problems I had with it was, I mean, it's not a movie I thought about at all leaving the theater, but I had a good time there. Even though it was kind of a spot a celebrity type movie, you know. And yeah. I did. I mean, I always like seeing Chloe Sevigny in movies because she's so picky, and I love her presence. But they toyed with you so much here. They toyed with you. Put her in a scene.
Yeah,
then
it's not good. It's not good.
No.
But okay, then I kind of get your rating. But then you're basically rating the theater with the film, which you shouldn't really do. Yeah,
I know, but it was my experience, and how I rate movies is always what do I feel just when it ends. And I thought it was all right, but
you felt good about it. Okay.
I felt good.
I get that.
But also the visual style, like I thought it was beautiful pictures and everything. And I did think that the decoy story was something that could have been interesting. But they just stopped it because it was not part of the story. You know, they should have looked into that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure the novel is much, much better.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe some sort of resolution to that as well.
I have to say, Rune, that I did, because I was so annoyed with this.
Uh-huh.
It feels like, to me, like the Americans or the British trying to get in on Nordic noir and making it their own in some way. And it just annoys the crap out of me. Not good. And I gave it 1.5 stars. You gave it 2.5 based on the theater, basically.
Maybe also the visual stuff. Yes. You know, let's ascribe it to that.
Yes, yes. Like, okay.
Like, because that is Thomas Alfredson's thing.
I went and watched Let the Right One In.
Yes.
Yesterday, because I didn't want this bad taste in my mouth from this film to linger there. Yeah. And may I just say, that's just a beautiful, fascinating film, powerful, so original, smart. And just smart, and just unbelievable film. Mm-hmm. And he did that. This is what he can do when he's left alone to his devices. I mean, there was no Martin Scorsese anywhere around that one.
No. There was no big actors.
No.
Probably maybe a few Swedish known actors.
Probably not the same casting director.
No.
For these two films.
No. No, definitely.
But
not.
It was like everything that The Snowman was not. Yeah. That film.
And I guess also like shots that were on tripods and not moving. Like one scene I recall is that tunnel scene.
Yeah.
When she's attacking someone in the tunnel.
Yes.
I think it's just like a steady shot of that tunnel, right? And nothing happens. It's just like you're there.
The camera doesn't have to be moving all the time.
Exactly. I mean, stop drawing attention to the camera.
Yeah.
Like that.
So it seems you're happy with the visual style, but still not really that happy with the visual style.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes. Yes. it's. But I'm trying to keep positive here. I did say that there was a bit too much movement, but I see where he's coming from. But it I ascribe it to Hollywood's influence, something that he I hope needed to do in order to please the Hollywood crowd.
I suspect the same. I suspect that he's not really proud of this.
No.
Do you know the same screenwriter for this one, Hossein Amini, as for Drive by your friend? Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's a huge waste of resources. I mean, 1.5 stars for me, and one of those the single star is just for the name Harry Hole.
What about the half one?
Well, for the rest of it, you know.
Oh, okay.
For that scene in where he's looking into the bar.
Yes, that was effective storytelling. Right.
That
there.
Scene was good.
You know. Yeah. And like my little sex scene that I liked, you know, it made my, like, I felt happy about it, you know.
Okay.
I thought it was fun.
Good.
So so there were some things, and the whole technology thing was also laughable.
Yeah.
In a fun way.
I again have to say the plus is that I've been talking about this way more than most films I see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Did we mention J.K. Simmons? Did we mention his name?
I don't think we did. I was excited that he was in this. So
I was surprised he was in it.
But he didn't do anything for me, really.
No.
He didn't get anything really to work with either. So.
No. No. Exactly. So, like all of them, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlotte Gainsborough also was like, I really like her. And she's known to work with, well, a very, very famous Danish director.
Yes, yes.
And like her recent fame is because of that, I guess.
But I think we should stop right there. I mean, this is gone on long enough, I feel.
Yeah. So, recommendation? No? Not, like, kind of a thumbs down, right?
Yeah, I mean, three out of 10 is not really a high score for me.
No, no.
I mean, no. Let the Right One In is a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
So, please see that if you haven't seen it. Not the American version. Not the,
no,
of course
don't
not.
See that one. No. So, yeah, not really recommending this one either, even though I scored it a bit higher. So,
tagline should be leave us alone, Hollywood, basically.
Yes. Leave the Scandinavian Nordic noir. Nordic noir to the north.
A phrase coined, of course, by, you know, Hollywood or the UK.
Yes.
I'm guessing. So what are we thinking for next time?
Yes, I actually haven't thought about it this time.
We could go with the Blade Runner thing, but...
We could go with that one, but you never
I'm
know.
I'm sure there's like... That's a blockbuster thing, but I'm sure that we'll find something good.
Yeah. Maybe Winter Brothers comes up and we could actually watch that one.
Yeah.
That would be something. Yeah. Yeah, there are quite a few. Like, I really want to watch that Killing of a Sacred Deer, Giorgos Lanthimos.
Is that for next time?
No, it's November.
It's not for next time.
It doesn't matter.
Put it on a list. We'll see what happens.
It's on the list. We'll see if it actually makes it, makes the cut. I also really want to watch Lucky, the last movie with Harry Dean Stanton.
I haven't seen that in Iceland yet.
No, I haven't seen it here either. So we'll make it just for the premiere of Stranger Things Season 2.
Sure. When is that coming?
That's the 27th of October. So
okay.
I think we'll be hard-pressed to actually have watched the whole thing before.
No chance.
But we need to at least touch upon that one in a future show.
Mm-hmm. We can say if after 5 episodes how we're feeling about it. We could do that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm actually a little bit, you know, I'm always a little bit worried when something was kind of good.
Yeah.
For what it was, and then they make more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, you know.
We'll find something good.
You already watched The Square, but that's the 29th of November here.
29th of November, Swedish film come to Denmark, yes.
Yes.
A film that won the Palme d'Or, yes. At Cannes?
Yeah.
It won.
Yeah, we don't really care about those things.
No. Why? Why show that immediately when you can wait 5 months or something?
Why, really? Yes. I don't get it either.
Ah, the Danes. So. Anyways,
but maybe it will be some Blade Runner stuff.
Possibly, yeah.
As I said last time, I really wanted to try and go and watch some of those CPH picks films,
mm-hmm.
but time didn't go my way there, and also with Reshkva being sick and everything, then it just stopped.
Yeah.
But there were some really good movies there.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit excited about Mother.
I am not. We know it's really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. Yeah. We know that.
It's something I'll watch once it's on Netflix, I think.
Sure. But at the moment, every podcast in the world has done that already.
I know.
So why should we, you know?
Spend time on it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Winter Brothers. Let's keep our fingers crossed that that actually comes up in Denmark. You haven't watched it yet, right?
But no, no. But I can still go.
Yeah,
and you have some questions to ask the Danish film authorities. So we'll see how that goes.
So once I go and watch it, I'll ask them why this late. Maybe I'll call my contact person, the producer of the film.
Yeah.
You know, and ask, like, why not pull some strings here? Why not get it into cinemas?
Yeah. There you go. That's right, that's on actually the way. A very interesting question. Maybe she can answer that.
Yeah. Maybe we can get her on a show.
That'd be nice. If we let's get her on the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's try that. Maybe that's something that could happen.
Great. Anyway, Rene, I think we're done now.
We are done, and we're probably a little bit across like 1 hour mark, but it's closer.
It's closer, yeah.
As always, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast over there, and we'll happily receive your likes and comments and everything over there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website, theconversationpodcast.net. We're on SoundCloud. Also do a search for theconversationpodcast.net. And we're on Twitter, podconversation. Yes. Like, that's our handle over there. Mm-hmm. And we're both using it. I actually used it a little bit here going to a cinema, trying to update a little bit over there.
Yeah, didn't get permission from social media manager, but okay.
No,
yeah?
I hijacked it and said, well, this cinema is too good to go down in history as like forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Let's spread the word when you run into stuff like that. We should do that.
Yeah. So SoundCloud, Twitter, Facebook, like,
and
website.
Letterboxd. Yes.
And Letterboxd, that's your cue.
Yep. As always, we'll make a list of films discussed. And you can try and follow. Well, try. Just go and follow me or Rune or both of us on Letterboxd or on personal accounts. Yeah. So there's that.
We'd love to see what you're watching as well.
True.
You know?
True.
So
I guess that's it for today.
Without further ado. You've
Goodbye.
Been listening to... Yeah, let's just say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Should we get going and keep this under an hour?
Let's try it out. Let's see what happens.
Maybe we should keep this in at the end of the show just to say, like, we do try.
Yeah, we do try. I think we're going to... I believe in us this time.
Yes, I also believe in us.